Today we finish up our sermon series called Decisions and Consequences. We've been going through Matthew chapter 13 and looking at different parables, and today we finally come to the end of it. We finally come to the end of the chapter. And so let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. The title for today is Have You Understood? Matthew chapter 13. We are starting in verse 51, and we're going to go to the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 51 to the end. All right, this is the reading of God's word. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Amen. If you had all the whatever, fill in the blank. If you had all the fill in the blank that you needed, what would you do? Let me give some examples. If you had all the money that you needed, what would you do? If you had all the authority at work, what would you do? If you had all the strength and all the energy, what would you do? If you had all the comfort that you're looking for, what would you do? If you had all the time you needed, what would you do? Would you use it for yourself? Or would you use it to help others? Through our passage today, what we're going to find is that there's this idea that comes out that when you are blessed, then it should lead us to bless others. And so the main idea for today is, and some of you guys know this phrasing, but the main idea for today is we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And we're going to talk about this with three points. The first point is blessed. The second point is be a blessing. And the third point is have you understood? All right, again. So blessed to be a blessing. First point is blessed. Second point is be a blessing. And the third point is have you understood? All right, so let's talk about this first point. Blessed. We're going to be looking at this parable, and it's the last parable in this chapter, and it's just verses 51 and 52, and then from 53 on, it talks about Jesus finishing up this sermon with parables, and he goes back to his hometown, and it talks about his encounter with the people from his hometown. Right? So we come to this last parable, and it's really an interesting parable because it's a little bit different from all the other parables in the middle of the chapter. All the parables in the middle of the chapter started off with, for the kingdom of heaven is like, and it begins to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. It tells a story of what it's like. But this parable, if you look at it in verse 51 and 52, it doesn't start off that way. And it's similar to how the first parable started. And the way that they're similar is that it doesn't start off with the kingdom of heaven is like. Yeah, you can see it right there. It says, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like. It doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is like, but it says, everyone who is trained for the kingdom of heaven is like. And so that's an interesting thing. It's kind of a way to start off the whole chapter and talk about what it is to receive the parables. You know, the first parable of the sower, is about how do you receive the teaching of God's word? How do you receive the parables? And then it talks about all the different parables. And then now at the end, as he finishes up, he says, now that you've been taught the parables, what are you going to do with it? And so again, this first point is about we are blessed. We are blessed to have all these teachings about the kingdom. Another way that Jesus talked about it was he said, I am giving you the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And so we are blessed in that we are being taught about the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to point to something that's very interesting. In verse 51, it starts off with Jesus asking, have you understood all these things? And so in the context of Matthew chapter 13, what Jesus is saying is, look, I've described to you all these things about the kingdom of heaven. Now, do you understand? And as I was meeting with our team of leaders, pastors, and we're studying this passage together, one thing I said was, it's kind of interesting. Like, we've been going through these parables, and some of it is like, it's kind of hard to understand. Like, what is it really pointing to? But then the disciples, they said to him, what did they say? They say, yes, we understood everything. Now, when we're talking about it in our study time, we're thinking, is it like a, yes, Jesus, we understand. We're completely excited for your kingdom work. Or was it like, yeah. yeah, we understand. And it's kind of interesting because if you have your Bibles, we don't have it on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, if you turn over to chapter 15, in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus just got done describing another parable to them. And it says in verse 15, but Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And in verse 16, Jesus says, and he said, are you also still without understanding? And in another version of the Bible, in the NIV, it actually says, are you still so dull? It's kind of, you know. So Jesus still needs to describe and try to explain things to the disciples. But at least here in this passage, in verse 51, at least in the disciples' minds, they were confident that they understood, at least to a degree, right? They're confident that they understood. And so it's interesting because Jesus doesn't expect them to understand everything. Otherwise, there wouldn't be that situation in chapter 15. He doesn't expect them to understand everything, but even if they don't understand everything, Jesus goes on in the next verse and says, he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like, and he goes on to describe what that's like. So even though they didn't understand everything, Jesus doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't rebuke them, but he actually says, you guys are like scribes. He doesn't point down at them and say, two chapters from now, you're not going to understand again. You don't understand. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you are trained in this way, I'm going to elevate you to the status of a scribe. Jesus doesn't rebuke them. He actually elevates them. And in that sense, he blesses us too. In a way, Jesus is saying, you know, there is a certain amount that you have come to understand as a Christian. And you may feel like you don't know a lot. You may feel like you don't understand a lot of things. But there is a certain amount that God has already revealed to you. As much as you are blessed with that amount, now go and be a blessing with that. You don't have to wait to become a Bible scholar. Jesus already calls you a scribe. You don't have to wait till you feel very confident about like having enough knowledge. Whatever God has blessed you with, use that and go and be a blessing to others. Now, I want to talk about this idea of how we're blessed a little bit more because some of us here, we're sitting here and we're like, yeah, I know you're saying that we're blessed, and I kind of see what you're saying about how we're blessed, but sometimes I just don't feel like I'm blessed. I mean, if you think about my job situation right now, if you think about my family situation right now, if you think about my love life or the lack of, right? Some of us are here, we're thinking about all these different things that we're going through, and we're like, I just don't feel blessed. I've been struggling with this sickness for so long. Our family just doesn't have enough money. I'm tired, but I still have to keep taking care of my parents. We have all different kinds of things that we're struggling through. And so when we think about this idea, you know, as I'm saying, you are blessed, some of us are thinking, it doesn't really feel like that. And so I want to point to what Jesus was talking about here. He spent the whole chapter, well, at least in Matthew chapter 13, he spent this whole time talking about the kingdom of heaven. And I want to kind of talk about this kingdom of heaven just a little bit because as we're going through this series, I've been getting a little bit of feedback, and it seems like there's some people that were still kind of not quite understanding what I was talking about because I'll take the blame for it. I wasn't being clear enough. Right? And so when I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven, I'm not talking about one day in the future when Jesus Christ comes back and we all go to heaven and what that kingdom of heaven is like. Okay, I'm not talking about heaven one day in the future. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven that we can experience today. What is that? What is that kingdom of heaven that we're able to experience today? Well, first of all, before we can talk about that, let's think about why is heaven such a great place? Why is heaven such a wonderful place? Well, because we talk about there's no more sin, there's no more death, there's no more pain or sorrow. But why? Why is heaven that kind of place? Did God just make it like that? No, it's not just because. The reason why heaven is that kind of wonderful place that we're looking forward to is because God is there. Because God is present. You know, it's really interesting if you look at the book of John, Jesus describes in John chapter 17, Jesus describes eternal life as knowing the Father and knowing Jesus Christ. Having eternal life is not about just going and being in this wonderful vacation-like world. That's not what eternal life is. Eternal life is having this relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Why is that so wonderful? Because God is a perfect God who does bring perfect justice. God is a perfect God who brings perfect love. God is a God who shows us perfect grace. God is a God who makes all things right. And so when we are in his presence one day and we're experiencing that perfection, everything seems perfect and right. That's why heaven is so wonderful. And when Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven, what he's saying is that that's not just a future reality. That's something that we can experience today. How? Well, when we become believers in Jesus Christ, when we begin to understand more and more who God is, and when we begin to see how God wants us to live our lives according to his ways, we begin to see who he is being shown through us. God wants to use us in a way to bring heaven down to earth. God wants to use us. He blesses us in this way so that as we learn about who God is, He changes our lives, the way we think, the way we look at this world. And as we look at all the pain and the sorrow in this world, He changes us so that we can go into this world and bring His truth, His reign, His rule, His authority, His ways into this world. It changes lives. This kingdom changes lives. It causes people, like I've seen in the past in Brazil, people are praising God with their hands in the air, dancing, going back and forth, because they're just so thankful and glad about what God is doing in their lives. He brings about healing in people's hearts. He causes us to not have to worry about our futures, because our God, He declares in His word that God is a God who cares about His people. God is a God who brings about justice, and He sends forth His people to go out and declare that that is wrong. What we're seeing is wrong, and we want to see God's justice brought about in this place. The way that the workplace is run, it's not the right way. We want to see God's reign in our workplaces so that there's true justice there, so that people are treated well, employees are treated well, bosses are doing what's the right thing. God blesses us by giving us this relationship with Him so that we can understand who He is, how powerful He is, how great He is, how He's making everything right. He blesses us in this way so that we can go and be a blessing. Jesus has been declaring this thing about the kingdom from the beginning of the book of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is able to be experienced in our lives now. And throughout the parables, what Jesus has been saying is that either you will choose to be a part of this kingdom or you will not. There will be a division. One day in the future, you will find yourself as a part of this kingdom or you will not. If you are part of the kingdom, then you will be with the Father one day. But if not, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be a punishment that's coming. But also, Jesus talks about how this kingdom is a treasure. It's so valuable. It's so important. It's something that's powerful. It's something that you don't want to give up. And not only that, this kingdom is one that is expanding. It's growing. And God will continue to see His kingdom expand. But the amazing thing is, God doesn't do it on His own. He doesn't come down from heaven above and say, I'm just going to change this whole world. He doesn't do it that way. The way that He does that, and we come to our second point, the way that He does that is, He blesses His people. He blesses us so that we can go out and be a blessing to others. He wants to use His people to bless this world. Now, the reason why sometimes this idea is difficult for us, I believe, is because, yeah, we do struggle still on this earth. We do have pains. We've been hurt by people in the past. Some of us have had very, very difficult lives. Some of us are living a very difficult life right now, and there are multiple reasons why. For some of us, it's because we're away from home and we miss having a family near us where we could find comfort. For some of us, we feel like, I've been going through this type of pain for so long, this physical pain, I just don't know anymore. Some of us, we've been dealing with a difficult relationship. Sometimes it's with spouses, sometimes it's with friends. For some of us, we've experienced some really traumatic experiences in the past, and it's still with us. It's still with us today. And so it's difficult to feel like we're blessed. I mean, let alone go in trying to be a blessing to others. And so when we try to go and bless other people, right, we're in our second point, go and bless. When we try to go and bless other people, what we may end up saying is, I don't know if I know enough. I don't know if I know enough to be able to just go out and be a blessing to people. Or some of us might say, I don't know if I have the strength to. I just don't think I'm able to. Some of us, we say, I don't think I'm worthy enough. I've sinned in really bad ways in the past, and who am I to go and try to share with people and to bless others? Who am I? I'm nobody. Some of us, we feel like, I don't know if I want to go out there and share and bless other people because I'm afraid that I might get rejected. I mean, what if I try and go help someone and they're like, I still hate you. Or I don't want your money. There's this one lady out there by McDonald's over by Taiwan University. There's this lady out there, and I try to bless her, and people may have different opinions about how to bless homeless people, but for some reason these days I've been feeling like I want to bless her just by giving her money, and we've come to know each other quite well, so I feel like I trust her enough just to take the money to buy food. Before, in the past, I was like, let me walk you to a restaurant and I'll buy you food. And she's like bent over all the way, and she takes really small steps. So we walked all the way to Family Mart and walked all the way back, and I bought her food. But it just took a long time. So I trust that, I mean, what she does when I see her is she asks me for 100 Taiwan dollars. And I know how she's going to use it. And then sometimes she asks me for 200 Taiwan dollars. And I trust her. And there was one time I just grabbed a whole bunch of coins from my coin jar at home, and I put it in my pocket, and I pulled it out, and she says, can you give me 200 Taiwan dollars? And I said, okay, well, let me see how much I have. And I was looking at all the coins, and I had 144 or something like that. And then she took the 140, and then she gave 4 back. And, you know, of course I'm not going to feel rejected. But it's like, why are you giving me back the 4? Some of us, we want to go out and bless, but then we're afraid of being rejected. That was a long example just for that idea, but some of us, we want to go out and bless, but we just feel like, I'm just not that kind of person. You're a pastor, so of course you're supposed to go and do that kind of thing. But that's just not me. I just try to do my work faithfully, and that's all. We have all kinds of reasons why we say we're not able to. But here's the thing. For all of those reasons why we don't feel blessed and why we don't feel like we're able to bless others, for all those things, there's some kind of lie that we believe. I'm not going to get provided for, so I need to work my butt off to provide for myself and my family. There's no one out there to take care of me, and I don't have enough for retirement yet, so I need to work my butt off to make sure that I get that. There's a lie there. No one's out there who's going to protect me. And I've been pretty hurt in the past, And since no one out there is going to protect me, I'm going to find every way to protect myself. That's why I don't want to go and talk to those other people and try to bless them, because they might hurt me again. There's this lie that's always there that we keep repeating to ourselves. God says he's going to heal me, and he hasn't. Is he a good God? There's a lie that's lingering there. And so when we believe in these lies, we forget the truth. And what Jesus Christ has said to us over and over, especially if we look back at the beginning where Jesus proclaims the kingdom in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. What Jesus says is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Don't you know that I'm taking care of you? That you have a heavenly Father that's there, that's taking care of you? Don't you see the birds of the air, how they don't worry about their lives? Don't you see the grass of the field and they don't worry about their clothing? Don't you know that you are more important to me than they are? Jesus says, I care about you. I am working in your life. And you may not feel like that's true, but this is the truth. I am present. I am here. I am working in your life. That's what Jesus says. And now all of us, we have a decision to make. Just like our series title says, we have a decision to make. Am I going to put my trust in what his word says, or am I going to put my trust in this lie? And so we come to this third point. Have you really understood what Jesus has been saying? Have you understood that Jesus does care about you and love you? Have you understood that Jesus is really present in this life, in your life? Have you understood? Now, if you're like me, there are a lot of times that I still worry. There are a lot of times that I still forget. There are a lot of times that I still complain. There are a lot of times that I still am just so anxious. Anxious. Oh, man. Patience. Anxious. There are a lot of times that I still struggle, and I do believe in these lies. I'm supposed to be the pastor. I'm supposed to be someone who's spiritually mature. But I'll confess to you guys, I still believe in these lies. There are these moments where I find myself not able to go to sleep at nighttime because I'm still worrying about that thing. There are times that I still fight with my wife because my wife is telling me something that's true, and I'm thinking, no, it can't be true. I still want to defend myself. Because the lie is, I'm going to try to find some way, I'm going to make myself to have some type of better status or have some type of better truth. I still believe in these lies. And when Jesus asked the question to me, have you understood? I believe in the same way that Jesus is asking all of us today. Have you understood? I feel like my answer would be like the disciples, not in the, yes, Jesus, I understand, yes. But I feel like I'm more like, I guess. I don't know. That's what I feel like a lot of times. And what that shows is that I haven't put my trust in Jesus. And I've put my trust in a lie. I put my trust in something else besides God. And that is my sin. That's how I fail over and over again. And Jesus says to us, I mean, if you look at this next story, Jesus goes to his hometown, right? He goes to his hometown where he's supposed to be accepted, where people should be accepting him, where people should understand him. And they do to a degree, because they say, look, don't we know his mother, and don't we know his brothers, and don't we know his sisters? Don't we know who he is? Yeah, we know who he is. Jesus goes, and they've heard of the news that he was proclaiming the kingdom, and he's doing all these mighty works, doing all these miracles. And it's kind of strange. They know that these things happened, that Jesus did actually do these things. They know it. But they're like, who does he think he is? Who do you think you are, Jesus, coming in and doing all this stuff? We don't want to follow you. We know your family. You grew up as a carpenter. Come back to your roots. Who do you think you are? You think you're some hotshot now? That's the kind of perhaps attitude that the people had. And so Jesus says a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And goes on to say he didn't do a lot of mighty works there because of their unbelief. And this story is kind of a transition to how the story will continue to progress throughout the book of Matthew, where there's more and more opposition against Jesus, and it becomes more and more intense, all the way to the point where they arrest him and he goes to the cross. He dies for our sins and he rises again from the dead. And there's victory over sin and death. But here's the point. I forget that. And I sin against my God over and over and over again. I forget that. And Jesus says to me, have you understood that even though you sin like me in this way, all you have to do is turn back to me. And your sins are forgiven. The work is done. The work on the cross is done. Just turn back to me. You don't have to worry about what other people think about you. I love you. You don't have to worry about your finances, about how your future is going to turn out, or what kind of job you're going to get. You don't have to worry because I will take care of you. Do you understand? Do you believe what I'm telling you? Have you understood? Because when we do, it'll free us up. When we understand how Jesus has blessed us, it will cause us to want to go and share with other people and bless other people. Jesus is the only way. Looking back at the gospel is the only way that we'll remember once again how we are blessed. Forget those lies and hold on to the truth. And so I just want to make this last statement. Have you understood? What decision will you make today? And I'm talking to both Christians and non-Christians. What decision will you make today to believe in his truth or not? We're at the end of this month, and we're going into December. I want to finish up with some practical applications. How to apply this idea of learning that you are blessed and that you can bless others. We're going into December, and typically at our church, we go into an Advent season. And Advent is a time where we look forward to, we're anticipating, we're looking forward to Jesus Christ's birth. We're looking forward to Christmas. But at the same time, we're looking forward to Jesus Christ's return one day in the future. And so during the whole month of December, what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be talking about how we're looking forward to heaven one day and all the hope and the joy that that brings. We're going to be talking about expecting the return of our Lord Jesus Christ because of all the benefits that brings. That's what we're going to be talking about. And so my hope is that through all that time, that we're going to be thinking about how we are really blessed in the Lord. But a way that we could be a blessing through that is there are a bunch of people that don't come to church, and then there are people that come to church only during Christmas and Easter, right? There are people like that. And some people have called them Christers, Christmas and Easter only. And some people have called them CEOs, Christmas and Easter only. Right? A way that you could be a blessing is to invite your friends, those people that have been away from church for a while, invite them to come and be a part of our services during December. A way that you could be a blessing is to go and invite your non-believing friends and invite them and tell them, hey, why don't you come out and check it out, see what you think. So that's one way. Another way is that as we think about the kingdom of heaven and how it's continually expanding, I believe our church has been growing in a lot of ways. I believe this year God has really blessed us. And God has blessed us in so many ways that we are expanding as a church. And we're trying to think through the budget these days. The leaders are trying to think through the budget. And we're really wanting to expand. We're really wanting to even grow our budget so that we can do more things in the future. But that's not going to happen unless all of us here are thinking about how God has blessed us and how we can also bless the church and bless one another through our giving. And so I want to encourage you guys. This is kind of a sensitive topic for some people, but I just want to be bold and ask, you know, let's continue to be a part of God's expanding kingdom and his work through our church by really thinking about how can I be involved financially? Like, how much is God calling me to give during this season? And so as we come to the end of this year, I just want to remind all of us here that that's what's going on, all right? Why don't we pray together? Take some time to go before the Lord now as the worship team comes up. And whatever God is placing on your heart, I mean, today, like, I want to ask you guys to think about how we are blessed in the Lord. And maybe also think about how we can be a blessing to others. Again, it's about bringing God's truth, God's ways into our lives, into our hearts, into our workplaces, into our families, into our schools. It's about bringing God's ways into all of these places and being a blessing to this world. So maybe that's something that you could think about and just ask God, how do you want me to be involved in your kingdom work? So let's take a moment to pray. Whatever God is placing on your heart. Again, maybe for some of us, it's just, God, forgive me. I haven't been doing this. Forgive me. I've been putting my trust in lies. Forgive me, Lord, and help me to look to you again. You are my only hope. Whatever your prayer is, take some time to pray now. Let's pray together.